Let me guess, you are dancing to pay for your master's in political science.
Yes! How did you know?
I don't know. Stripper stories using Common 3. College student, single mom, cocaine.
No love, trash talk!
Hello, once again, here we are after Mardi Gras weekend numero uno.
Dude, that was a sick intro.
NOLA Trash Talk. It wasn't a sick intro. This is one of those episodes we record where I haven't edited all that funny stuff we do in the beginning of the show together. So we're just coming in cold on this, what's the weather like today? It's sunny afternoon, Super Bowl Sunday.
It's like overcast, but not cold.
February 4th, 2018, I'm the Prophet Joshua.
Hell, and I'm Steve McJeezy.
And hyping up your name, a little too much enthusiasm there.
Yeah, no, it's
I'm
like
just a guy who lives in New Orleans. Steve's just a person who lives in New Orleans too.
I like saying it like Young Jeezy does.
Oh,
Akon and Young Jeezy.
Your wife would certainly not be your hype man.
She would be the antithesis of that.
Exactly.
She would be like the heckler.
Now's the part on the show when you change the channel. Anyway, did you catch any Robert E. Lee beads this weekend, Steven?
No, but these beads are
they're sold out.
Hilarious.
That's what they are.
Hilarious.
How do you go about, what are the parameters of getting custom Mardi Gras beads made? Because we really should have done this and made that money.
We're not that smart. Yeah, we're definitely not that smart.
We got to, moving forward, the next big scandal.
Where would we have sold these?
All you got to do, I guess, is make them, advertise them on whatever pro Robert E. Lee Facebook group
there is.
And you know there's a few, and it would get shared, and then people would purposely, you know, just buy as many as they could.
So we'd have boxes of these, and we'd just be waiting for the orders to come in, and then we'd mail them out, right?
Yeah, we wouldn't even have to take them from the box from the plastic factory that we got them from.
Well, your $1,000 idea, out the door.
Well, next year or whatever,
yeah.
Future Mardi Gras, because no one owns Robert E. Lee as a trademark.
Right.
So, all good. We could move them in cash.
You could literally make beads for any goof of the year.
I know, but this Robert E. Lee strikes a certain chord.
Yeah, this hits home. Yeah.
And, of course, certain crews have already banned them. And I saw some hashtag things on Facebook saying,
Not Rex and Comus.
Yeah, it was strange. But, like, for the crews, it said, like, Orpheus and another big one said, no one can throw them. It was all the crews that didn't say anything. Does it
so
matter?
Stupid.
Who's keeping track of that?
So stupid.
In the war zone that is running a Mardi Gras float.
Oh, I'm not going to that parade because they're throwing Robert E. Lee beads.
No, I saw this thing getting shared on Facebook that was like, if you see someone throwing a Robert E. Lee beads, take a picture of them, put what float number, put what rider, and then like second from left. And then hashtag racist Mardi Gras.
Oh, yeah, because that's
all that's going to happen on the parade route.
Right.
In the middle of chaos.
In the lunacy.
Not the parade chaos, yeah. But chaos in general. You're going to, like, stop what you're doing, hashtag all that shit on your social media posts.
You wouldn't even be able to get the, you wouldn't even be able to
what
get
are the odds,
internet.
Yeah, what are the odds that somebody, you can't even get on Facebook. You'd have to see the Mardi Gras beat, the Robert E. Lee beat in the dude's hand, cheer for it. To get the bead, catch it, and then
my own hair. Okay, sorry.
And then do all that. Social
get
media.
Catch it, take the picture. What rider was that? What float? You might be able to get the float. What rider? Yeah, sure.
And how convenient.
Good luck.
They're all in masks.
There's 20 of them on a side.
Well, and also, what's the point in making a big deal of Robert E. Lee beads as a racist Mardi Gras thing when I swear half the riders of all the horses and all the parades look like KKK members anyway.
It's hilarious.
That's what the first thing. My mom and sister were in town this weekend, as you know.
Oh, and they saw the
one of the parades
the
we went to on yesterday. The Bloom, was it?
I don't know.
Yeah, and she's like, "Is this supposed to be like the KKK?" That was her first thought.
Are you serious?
The guy in white robes coming in on the horse, and I'm like,
but it was like white, like costuming,
but white with the gold fringes,
right.
But that was the first thing, my
that is hilarious.
And she's like, is this a KKK thing? I'm like, no, but I've always thought that myself, and apparently that's not a big deal here. Robert E. Lee Beads, big deal. KKK kids, what's wrong?
Crispy.
Sorry.
Yeah, so all your problems moved.
Yeah, so, no. Say the last sentence. I think you were out.
What do you mean?
You weren't, like, connected.
No, it's working.
Oh, I got you.
When you don't hear yourself in the headphones, it's the headphone things. It's not the mics. The mics.
So, no. But, yes, that thought never came through my mind, ever.
I initially didn't. But then as years go on and as they... The whole statue thing. I looked at the parades. Kind of strange. They do look like to a stranger. It's kind of KKK.
Like, Mardi Gras is in
this
itself.
This is not a thing. It's my side observation that my mom made.
Right, but it's innately segregated anyway.
Right.
So like, anyway, but yeah,
not segregated enough is what they're saying with Robert E. Lee Beats.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you get them, I can't think of a better prank to play. Then your drunk friend doesn't know where he is post parade at a bar, or
throw a bunch of them
meet some drunk out of towners, and they're being especially obnoxious.
Put these on,
yeah, and you throw and you maybe you have like a purple green bead, and you sneak in the Lee bead. He's like, "Hey, buddy, have
Put
a wonderful
on.
Night." So, and if anybody does do that, please remember to have your cell phone recording.
Oh yes, and hashtag racist Mardi Gras.
Because we can catch you, oh man, get some blackout wasted guys flaunting their Lee beads.
Dude,
kind of like our dear sweet homeboy, Phil Anselmo, a couple months ago, was doing a show and they got trashed on white wine backstage. So they had a joke of white power. And then he was doing the Hail Hitler thing on stage, yelling white power and saying it was a goof, but it's on video.
That's not good.
That's not no, but it's Phil and someone Pantera who spent their entire career selling Confederate flag merch.
Yeah, we talked about this.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, obviously he was drunk doing that. Granted, everyone pretty much believes that Phil Anselmo would say something like that.
He would.
If you follow his career.
Yeah.
I don't see him as the most progressive sort of individual.
Them and Tool.
Well, Tool never did anything where, like, oh, let's slap a pot leaf and a Confederate
flag.
Oh,
they just had, like, their lyrics.
I've never listened to Tool. What, yeah. What, but they have racist lyrics in Tool?
Yeah, some of them. Oh. I can't think off the top of my head, but, yeah. It's been, I'm saying, it's been discussed while I was in the vicinity, so that's where I'm getting this information, but, yeah.
But anyway, so catch that drunk guy, you know, being racially inappropriate, flaunting his Lee beads. Get that on, you know, video.
Did I tell you that I've never been to any parades?
First of all, let's say we're not pro or con this issue. It's just entertaining.
It's
that a certain bead has to be discussed and banned.
It's annoying, is what it is.
And I watched one of the parades on Saturday afternoon around Lee Circle or Blank Circle, whatever it is. They're supposed to put a water feature in there, right? It's going to be a fountain.
Oh, great.
Is that what your wife was saying?
Peace fountain.
Right. So, get your Lee beads.
Did I tell you that I've never been to any parades this weekend?
This weekend?
I always go KDV, obviously, Cour de Vue. And then this weekend, I do absolutely nothing.
Because of the weather this weekend, it's a tenth of the amount of people out there.
Oh, it's perfect.
It's luxurious. I sound like Donald Trump here. It was great. It was the best parade ever.
So did you go parading?
Well, Friday night I did the herb same thing. Had family in town. I had a reason to show them their first parade.
That's right.
Paid the extra money, which is a scam, which I knew going in. But planning events ahead of time for visiting family, I didn't want stuff up in the air. I needed a game plan.
What was the extra amount?
$35 a person for a wristband.
To have access
to their
balcony?
Grandstand.
Right. Oh, okay.
But
wait, they made a grandstand out there, or is it a balcony?
Balcony thing. You, okay. You're about as high up as the floats are.
Oh, okay.
But I guess no one else did it because the whole thing was pretty much ours. So we had dinner and then our own personal thing. Right.
Jesus.
St. Charles and my mom and my sister, of course, had never seen a Mardi Gras parade before.
Was there anybody out there?
Yeah, there's people. No, there's people out there. It was a crowd, but nothing close.
Because this weekend, yeah, this weekend is like family, you know, there's nothing.
But here's why I say the Herb Saint thing was a scam. Because I feel like I could have just walked up on their grandstand anyway.
Oh, there's nobody checking wristbands.
I mean, there was like some like drunk guy who works in the kitchen and they paid him to go stand outside. And they you have wristbands, but like right. No one ever stopped me and was like, hey, man, where's your wristband?
Well, I mean, $105 for, you know, a lock is not bad, you know. And you wanted to, you know, you don't want to put anything
up.
You
had your bathroom at the restaurant. You've got
there
your.
You go.
So no, it worked out. I mean.
When I just feel bad for you because you have to drive everywhere and you can't booze.
I boozed.
But not like hard, though.
It's a Mardi Gras parade. The only way I can get excited about catching plastic is like to dumb myself down just a little bit.
Yeah, I guess so.
Whoa, light up swords. I got to get a sword. I've got to get a spear.
So
I got to get a coconut this year.
I guess it needs to be said that the prophet and I had dinner on Thursday.
Oh, hold on. Before we move on for that. So having family members in town seeing their first Mardi Gras parade, they filled up a trash bag with all the beads they caught, so, and they were and super excited to bring them all back home with
are
them.
You serious?
And I was like, guys, please
don't do that.
So I had that they picked out like
a couple good throws,
the best ones.
Yeah,
ones that, you know, my mom got those really big ones, the really bulbous ones.
Oh,
to,
hang
on the door or something.
Right. So that's good. Yeah.
I was like, please just throw all these away. This is garbage. This is shiny, bright garbage.
And they have SARS on them too.
Yeah. And I was like, do not pick them up off the street. Let that shit go into a catch basin.
Disgusting.
We will deal with it 25 years from now. But yeah, the night before, we went and had dinner at Tableau in the Quarter.
Yeah, so.
Not advertising any of these restaurants, but this is your typical protocol for entertaining family in New Orleans.
It was perfect because there was no one at Tableau. It was perfect.
Once again, this plays out. This weekend one of Mardi Gras, quiet, empty.
Perfect.
No one's here.
So the prophet brings his sister
and
his mother.
We missed things like didn't do Chewbacca's last night. Didn't do no family gras, so there's other bigger Mardi Gras things that happened this weekend that we are ignorant to. We did not do.
I'll tell you.
Just want to put that out there.
So on Thursday, the prophet brings his sister and his mom, and McJeezy and Mrs. McJeezy go to Tableau. Now, prior to this,
why do I pick this restaurant? Because it's the one that's on Jackson Square.
It just I was wondering why you picked it. I mean,
it just that's where you take people.
That's good.
That's my default. Like. Yeah. Get a nice view of Jackson Square.
So we beat you guys there, so we had a couple drinks at the bar, and come to find out, lo and behold, Mrs. McJeezy knows the general manager of Tableau, and she's awesome, actually. She used to be – this is how crazy the Dickie Brennan company is. This chick was a bartender at Dickie Brennan's steakhouse for the longest time, and they were like, yo, do you want to be a manager at Tableau? She's like, yeah, got him. So she is – the match. So she's like, "Oh, you guys are having dinner here?" I'm like, "Yeah, we're waiting for this table." So I thought they took care of us. I mean, service wise, Mrs. McJeezy thought the service was horrendous. I'm like, "What is wrong with you?"
Oh my!
I thought it was great.
My mom and sister were like, "Wow, this is amazing."
They give you like an amuse, and,
yeah.
You know,
I was just like, "It's just a typical New Orleans restaurant,
right?"
You know, I didn't see anything amazing about it, but.
Well, and
when you're coming from Applebee's, you know,
scraps,
2 for $20,
Scrapplebee's, yeah.
And someone is constantly refilling your water now at a restaurant in New Orleans.
Yeah,
you're impressed.
No, I understand. I mean, we did.
Not saying they go to Applebee's. I'm just plucking that from.
We did the stereotypical like cliche thing, and we ordered like the seafood platter appetizer. I had no idea how expensive that thing was, man.
Yeah, $45.
Oh, what, it wasn't? Yeah. Okay. Oh,
that says it on the menu, Steve.
I wasn't even looking.
You can check.
Didn't look. The guy recommended it. I was like, yeah, let's get it.
That's how you got to ball out like that.
So.
It was a business dinner, though. We're all written off, right?
Right. Yeah, that's right. So I had me a couple of vodkas, maybe a little glass of wine, and I was dropping a couple of jokes. And I can't remember which one it was, but I said, "This motherfucker right here." And I said it right in front of his mom. And my wife is like, she's like, "McJeezy." Excuse me, of course. She's like, "Steven Gerrard." And I'm like, "What? I'm paying for dinner. I'll do whatever I want."
Did you get the same kind of dirty looks when you're having dinner with your wife's family?
I know.
Or are you more cognizant of your behavior?
Yeah, way more cognizant. I just, again, I didn't mean to make a bad impression if I did. I just assume that, like, Josh comes from a very worldly family that doesn't care about anything, so I was acting a fool.
Worldly wouldn't be the word I would use.
Okay.
But I would think, like, yeah, don't care. I mean, if
no, they're
if
not
they're,
like,
if they're exposed to me.
They're not overly religious, is what
like
I'm saying.
Like, who would Josh be hanging out with? Well, you know, other criminals.
They're not overly religious,
no.
Is what I'm asking. That's all I'm asking.
That's so. Oh, my God. Could you imagine if I came from an overly religious family?
That would make perfect sense.
That get outraged at cursing at the dinner table?
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah, of course it would.
I feel like when you come from a more religious family, you boomerang harder. Not boomerang. Whatever. You go harder the other way, and that's when you become like a drug addict, like something, because you came from a psycho evangelical thing.
It happens.
Everything I came from was moderate, you know, not black or white, shades of gray.
Right.
Boring, in the middle.
49 shades of gray.
Down the line, nothing special. you know, like a lot of people's stories in this city, you know, raised Catholic, but I don't really practice.
See, I got you.
Which means, like, I was forced to go to church till I graduated, you know, high school or middle school. And then it became like, we just kind of stopped going.
Okay.
Yeah. Forced to do all the sacrament things.
Yeah, check the boxes.
Exactly.
Check the box Catholicism. It's my favorite kind. It's funny because
it's like getting your driver's license.
Yeah.
It's like you do that whole like learner's permit thing, X many hours, then they give you a license and it's pretty much we'll never test you in any of this ever again. Good luck in the world.
Dude, I know some Catholics that are very devout, and I'm not talking
about
them.
You know what I'm talking about. The vast majority.
Check the fucking box. Catholics annoy the shit out of me. I'm sorry.
You're forced. It's foisted upon you.
It's like, but like when you're checking boxes, like what do you think you're doing with your life? Like if you're just checking boxes, it's obviously none of this means anything. But if you actually like have like some kind of spirituality to you, spiritualism, then that's like makes more sense, right?
Steven, I'm the most spiritual guy I know.
Oh yeah, of course you are.
I'm just into the wackier side of spiritual things. People are like, Josh, you're a spiritual person? It's like, I've got a bookshelf of some occult literature. you guys want to talk about building, you know, channeling some aliens and building crazy machines? Like, that's spiritual, technically.
I couldn't imagine.
But if we're just going to talk about being nice to our neighbor and not coveting his things, then no, we're not being that spiritual.
I couldn't imagine you on DMT.
Yeah, that's spiritual.
No, I couldn't imagine you just like on the, like, you know, the ultimate 10-minute high where you think
I every time I'm around some kind of like, because I don't have a drug crowd, I you know, I don't have like, I don't hang out with hippies,
right?
So anytime I am around somebody who's talking about like tripping acid or something, like, can you get some DMT? I want to go talk to aliens. It's like, dude, that is the most intense psychedelic trip you can ever experience. Like, you can't just take it. Like, watch me. People just overdose on heroin for the first time.
Yeah, like, I know. There's a video. Do you know who Ari Shaffir is, the comedian?
Yeah.
There's a video of him, and his friends are sober, and he does.
If people listening don't know what DMT is, just Google DMT.
Yeah, it's like this drug that your brain actually naturally produces, but it like taps
all plants, everything.
But like it taps into like the deepest part of your your psychology that we know about. I don't know. Anyway.
But this is spiritual.
Right. But there's a video of Ari Shaffir doing DMT and him freaking out for like 10 minutes and then it goes away.
Yeah.
And he's like, how long
it's
was
the,
I
they
tripping?
Call it the businessman's trip.
Right. He's like, how long was I tripping out for? And they're like, 10 minutes. He goes, it felt like 4 months. I don't understand that. That's some crazy shit.
Well, anyway, see, different spirituality means different things to different people. It's not just checking the box. The checking the boxes thing is the least spiritual thing in the world.
Obviously.
But when you're seven, when you're seven and you're forced to do your first communion,
yeah,
how can you blame that person?
That's different. That's different. I just think when you get into adulthood and like you start,
which makes Mardi Gras all the more strange because technically it's got the religious connotation because that's where it comes from. You blow it out before you give up everything till Easter.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. It's like, you know, the start of Lenten season or whatever.
Yeah, so it's Catholic, isn't it?
Yes, sort of.
It's
annoying again.
Yeah, but how many people do you know, you can give up stuff for Lent, whatever.
I'm giving up bloody blah, blah, blah for Lent. Why don't you give that shit up in general?
How many people you know, I mean, like,
Why don't you do something nice for somebody for 6 weeks straight? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
can I just give up carbs? I don't want to be nice to anyone.
Or, like, why don't you go volunteer for 6 weeks and do something instead of, it's so annoying.
But we're in the depths of Mardi Gras where, like, the spiritual aspect of it, I feel, is, it's like the check the boxes thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of vaguely there in the background, well, but no one acknowledges
it's not,
it.
Mardi Gras is not like a real Catholic thing. It just falls into time of the Catholic calendar.
It comes from that.
Yeah, I mean.
No, the Mardi Gras thing is from, I got a Wikipedia, the official Mardi Gras history, but it's like from France, isn't it? Some Catholic French thing.
Yeah, well, we're just a bunch of idiots.
We are
theorizing.
You're the one whose family or whatever grew up here.
No, but when we were kids, we never did Mardi Gras because we were out in Kenner, and like my dad's a minister. He's like, you're not going to Mardi Gras. It wasn't until I went away for high school. I went to Philly for boarding school, so that was 4 years of nothing. It wasn't until I really got back here for school that I had like my first like legit Mardi Gras when I was 18. And even then, I was playing ball, so I couldn't even really enjoy it then. So my first, like, legit, where I really enjoyed the whole thing was probably when I was, like, 22 or 23.
Yeah, it's about the same for me. Mine was, you know, I didn't move here until I was 17, so that was my...
I take that back. When
first Mardi Gras.
Oh, my God. When I was a freshman, I'll never forget this.
They all blend together, man.
I had some fun at the boot for Mardi Gras. That was it.
They all blend together at, like, the first couple... And then I guess once you're out of college and you're working service industry, you get a different side to it.
Yeah.
Then if you move away for a while and come back, you get another different side.
Exactly.
To
that
it.
Was the other thing. Like, when we were always working in bars and stuff, it's like you're trying to make money during Mardi Gras. So for years, I would work this Toth party that's down the street from Monkey Hill.
Yeah.
I would make like $2,250 easy, maybe sometimes even like three. And then walk all the way
to Bacchus.
It was beautiful. We had this nice house on Napoleon we used to go to. And that was a great little Sunday. But then, like, that's when we lived uptown. Now, we moved to Mid-City, and I started working, you know, and like, working in Mid-City. Now I have this Endymion thing going on because I have, like, so really, Mardi Gras to me is where can you get a hookup? Like, that's all I'm such a snob
when
it comes to that.
Who's got a space on the parade?
There's no way I'm going out blind.
It's all like...
I'm not sleeping overnight.
You're not going to bars and using their bathrooms and doing that line?
No.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I'm missing the big weekend. Next, we talked about the friend booking wedding on Mardi Gras weekend, so I'll be missing most of the excitement.
This is the 4 days. You ready? Friday, Iberia. Saturday, have office right on parade route. Sunday... Toth, you guys' house is right there. Yeah, it's right there.
I won't be there for that.
I know. But, I mean, if I need to use the restroom or whatever.
Well, excellent.
Off-street parking. And then
Sunday.
Monday, Lundi Gras.
What about Bacchus?
Brunch. I'm probably not going to. I have something at Bacchus, but it's difficult. Because my people, a lady that I work with, her husband is, like, the freaking, like, vice president of Toro. So they have this, like, that little patch of grass between Superior and the, you know,
yes,
like,
did,
they
yeah.
rope that off, and, like, they invite people, and if I wanted to go, I could go to that. It's awesome. They got a bathroom, food, booze, but it's, like, it's hard because, like, if you go to Toth, you would have to walk there, which is not bad, but I want to bring something, you know, so I'd have to drive or walk with,
so
like,
skipping ahead, Lundi Gras?
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Lundi Gras, we go to brunch, and you're coming.
Yeah, and then Mardi Gras Day?
Don't do a damn thing. I watch movies. Like, I watched The Shining 1 year for the first time. It was weird.
Is there a one single famous Mardi Gras movie?
Like,
has
what?
Any movie ever taken the titles, like, this is something you always watch around the, like the way there's Christmas movies? Like Christmas
Like
Story,
Groundhog Day?
Or It's a Wonderful Life? Is there one for Mardi Gras?
I don't think so.
That's weird. A movie has to get made to claim that spot. Mm. To become a, I mean, obviously, it would have to be made now and then be classic 40 years from now.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, I'll be on the air doing all those parade reports on radio.
Dude, you got to get out of that shit, man.
Why?
On Monday?
Oh, I can't get out of that.
God
but damn. That's not the bad one. The bad one is I got to be giving you parade progress reports on FM and AM stations on Mardi Gras Day for like 8 hours.
That is brutal.
Which, for some, I'm not complaining about this, but like, just think of like, what do you do for work all day? Every 20 minutes, I press record, and I do 15 seconds of content saying, you know, blah, blah, blah parade is now at St. Charles and Felicity. Brought to you by Coca-Cola.
Wow.
And then I blah, blah, blah parade is now at Lee Circle.
What are you doing? Just filing parade at?
I use our tracker, and then I use some of the other trackers to try to, like, pull all the info to get the most accurate thing
right.
as possible. And not be like 20 blocks off where the parade actually is.
Where's the Popeyes icon
at? Because that tracker stuff does not always work.
Yeah, the Popeyes icon.
I was tracking Chewbacca to the Marigny last night, and Chewbacca was like somewhere down on St. Claude with the tracker guy was still somewhere on Frenchman Street. And I was like, no, somebody stole the tracker out of the car. Because it wasn't moving.
Yeah, Mrs. McGeezy went out to Chewbacca last night. Because, you know, the Star Wars geeks got to come out.
Chewbacca is the nerd parade.
Dude, she... Oh, my God.
Which,
she had these, like,
word.
Star Wars, like, Spanx on. She had Yoda ears, glitter, and something else. I don't know. It was hilarious.
Did she go out blind, or did she have the hookup? Did she learn from her husband how to do Mardi
Gras? Nah, she went blind. She's the complete opposite of me. Complete opposite. Just... I dropped her and her friend off, just right around the quarter, and they just caught it right there by Esplanade. So,
now, another thing besides Mardi Gras parades that my mom and sister got to witness on Thursday night after I left you at dinner.
Race wars?
Was the stripper protest.
Oh, God.
Yes, and they were topless, giving it away for free out there, folks. Weird way to protest your business.
I didn't realize that they were topless.
Some of them were.
Oh, yes. That's ballsy.
And now, if you keep up on the news on the old Trash Talk Facebook page, stripper protests interrupted... city conference meeting about Bourbon Street construction.
That it was annoying.
Where they broke the news,
but it was funny though.
They broke the news that Bourbon Street construction has now tripled in price,
ugh.
And will resume shortly.
They were protesting the city for pulling liquor licenses and shutting quote
of
their
which six clubs have now reopened
with their liquor licenses.
Six clubs have reopened.
I'm with their licenses or no? I think that's the big part. Anyway, so there's a city, like, press conference, and the director of, like, public works is this, like, very petite lady. She's sitting out there trying to make a speech, and all you hear are these freaking whores in the back yelling shit. It's so funny. Okay, scores. Okay, here we go. So let's go through the individual.
Here's your strip club, the status of everyone's suspensions.
Okay.
Score suspended 45 days. 21 days active suspension. 24 days of the suspension will be deferred. I don't know what that means. The club will pay a $7,500 fine. Well, that's like a chick's, like, you know, one weekend for one of those girls. And will be placed on probation for the period of 1 year. Probation is such a load of nonsense.
Right.
Any subsequent offenses could result in additional. Temptations. Permit revoked. Club will also pay $2,500 fine.
I have a question. So does
Temptations closed, by the way.
So they're closed.
They're done. Dunzo, dunzo. Over. Shut down. Business closed.
Wow.
Temptations will now be called something else shortly.
Wow. Okay. Let's go through this. Stilettos.
Suspended 30 days. 14 days active. Well, I don't know what active suspension means. Is there a cop making sure they don't open? 16 days of those 30 will suspension deferred again.
It's like when you get sentenced to 5 years and like you have a suspended
sentence.
You can
kick the can down the road.
Yeah, you have a suspended sentence.
The club will pay a $5,000 fine and 1 year probation. Rick's Sporting Saloon, 30 days, 14 days active, 16 days deferred, $5,000 fine. Rick's Cabaret.
Oh, God. I didn't realize Rick's was in there.
10 days active, 20 days suspension deferred. Club will pay $5,000. So the Rick's business getting hit with $10,000 total there. Lipsticks immediately closed, but they closed before. Did they close before? I think they were the one that closed like a month before all this stuff went down. Alcohol permit surrendered to the ATC. $3,600 fine. Yeah, they closed prior to the suspensions coming out. The status of the other clubs, Hustler Barely Legal and Dixie Divas.
Dude, Dixie Divas, unclear. There's no way that place is reopening. There's no way.
It's all about who you know, Steve. It's not the shadiness of the business.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying that. There's no way. Like, the amount of shit that they found in Dixie Divas, there's no way that they could open up.
Well, status unclear, according to WGNO.
All right, play this video of the protest.
All right, now we're watching Bourbon Street dancer protest.
There'll probably be a ad first, of course. These hookers are yelling, "Save our jobs." Sorry, the dancers. My bad.
Aw, be nice, Steven. These are working girls.
I have no problem with these.
Making the world go round.
I just think they're so
the world over.
Stupid because they should be protesting their jerk-off owners.
Strip clubs made Bourbon Street famous. That's what one of the girls' signs said. That's exactly what we argued last week.
Exactly.
How can you clamp down on these things that have been your bread and butter?
Because
it's like that's like Walmart no longer allowing overweight people in.
I mean, we said last week.
Oh, and how many people have been arrested for human trafficking?
Donuts.
That's a one big goose egg right
donuts.
There.
Donuts.
Zero human trafficking arrests made at the clubs. All women involved were over 18. You know why? Because human trafficking is sneaky, and they take the people around to hotels and whatnot. They're not working the girls at Rick's.
Again, I just want to know, like what charges were filed, because the stuff that they're being fined for is obviously illegal activity.
Yeah, there was a girl on the radio saying, like, if she touches her own tits on stage, that's a lewd act. If she touches her ass on stage, that's a lewd act.
Are you serious?
Yes. That's how vague
the
charges can go.
That's ridiculous. Okay.
If they do the thing where they take the dollar bill and they put it within the G-string, that's a lewd act. So when they say club busted for lewd act, it could be things like
wait
that.
Up, so
it's not like coke and meth in the dressing room.
Right. So but like so I have to put the dollar or she has to put the dollar.
I think her just like messing with her clothes.
That's so ridiculous.
Pulling it off a little bit and snapping the dollar back is a lewd act.
Wow. Were they talking about this on the radio?
It was one of the girls was being interviewed.
Oh, okay.
And talking about the kind of straight. Oh, no shoes if she's barefoot. Lewd act.
Oh, yeah, but they wear heels though.
No, but I'm saying if she takes her come on, barefoot, crime.
Right, yeah. But why would you ever be barefoot?
And then they brought up the fact that if she does any of this on her own time with someone anywhere, it's all fine. But within the parameters of being in the business, it is a lewd act and illegal.
So ridiculous.
So, you know, you can touch your tits and your ass and dance for somebody on the sidewalk, but the moment you walk into the business, suddenly...
Ah, and I think it kind of comes back to my level of disdain for strippers. I don't enjoy them as a profession. I think that prostitution is.
But I don't have any harsh feelings to it. I just don't go to strip clubs.
Obviously, I don't either. But I find that
maybe we're just not old enough yet. Maybe once we cross that, like, 45 threshold, it just becomes that lonely set.
My level of disdain for them, you have no idea. My level of disdain for them is higher than the level of disdain I had for the lady who walked in the men's bathroom while I was going.
Oh, yeah.
It's bad.
Is this just because the girls, so do you have this kind of level of disdain for a Hooters waitress that buddies up to you and pretty much is just trying to extort you for cash? In exchange of like, hey baby, I'm really friendly, you're cute.
I guess so. I don't even go to Hooters though, so I don't even know what that's. I mean,
I'm trying to find the root of your disdain.
I like the exchange of goods and services.
Well, then you have no disdain. That's what they're doing.
No,
they're salesmen.
But what am I? What am I getting? What service? What good or service?
Saying,
am I getting?
Maybe we're just not the old lonely crowd for it. Maybe it's us complaining like a children's movie was bad, but it wasn't made for us.
I mean, they're kind of like used car salesmen.
I know people that love strip clubs. I know people that are completely neutral because they never go. Like, I consider myself neutral. I have zero – going to the quarter all the time. I could go to the quarter every night in a row and just never be tempted to go into the strip club.
Yeah, but because it's like
– mostly because everything's twice as expensive.
That and, like, I would
That's
rather –
That's pretty much it.
I would rather put $200 – on black and watch that wheel spin every single time.
Oh, you'd rather gamble your money than just,
but I'm
just
saying, like,
light it on fire. Yeah,
I'd rather, because what is the benefit of giving it to this woman?
I'm assuming that there's either it's that's the only way guys can get female attention or affection is going to the strip club.
So weird.
Or they it's just so programmed in their head that this is what a good time is.
I think
naked
if you,
women
okay.
walking around.
I think if you could have a decent time if you were like
you've got friends too that will just vanish to a strip club. You probably know these people.
No.
You've never had that like trashy friend that if you got too drunk every night, the way
yeah.
somebody peels off to a casino,
right? So, okay,
other people go to the strip club.
Some out of town people, yeah, for sure.
Okay, out of town, but generally wherever they are, that's their idea of like a wild time,
right?
Okay, so
I just don't understand.
I don't understand. I don't understand in that I would never act like that, but I understand that you have the appeal. There. Are you saying if you were in Amsterdam and you were walking through the red light district with the girls dancing in the windows and you had a pocket full of euros or whatever they use? Okay, I'm going to also say, for the sake of the story, you're not married. Morbid curiosity isn't like, I'm going to check out some of these hookers in Amsterdam.
No. No.
Why not? There.
I hate them.
But they're making a living. You could,
I understand.
You could be friends with these girls and doing their taxes, Steve. You could be picking up clients at the club.
Ugh.
You'd be handing out business cards. Come see me at my office.
Dude, could you imagine? Could you imagine?
I can't imagine. It's business.
I understand.
These are independent contractors.
That I get. Like, I get, like, the business aspect, and, like, they're trying to sell something, and people are willing to pay for it. I get it. It's just that. The logical,
and I don't even want to confuse it up with like, well, they're doing it for a good reason. You know, they're paying for the kid, or they're going to go to grad school, or they want to buy a trash bag full of meth. They don't. One way or the other, it doesn't buy.
No, I'm just annoyed at the protest here because they're protesting the opposite of what they should be. They should be bitching and moaning to their stupid club owners who allowed some of this nonsense to happen.
But some of this nonsense really was what I said before with the Lou.
Oh, right.
Which is some dumb shit,
right?
And who would follow those rules anyway? The girls can't touch their own chest.
That's so weird.
Who really?
Yeah.
The only person who's seeing that is the Operation Trick or Treat dude that has a checklist. You know.
Yeah. Like so. Oh, that's the other thing is like, did the ATC come in there and say, oh look, there's one. Oh, two loot acts.
Well, no,
loot acts.
They had secret shoppers. Yeah, and they had a clipboard, probably.
Okay, but like they have pictures of it because you can't take pictures.
Well, no, I'm sure they just had the guy write down everything he saw.
Okay.
Then they took him to the office. They tallied up X many loot
okay.
acts per Saturday, and
7,500.
And they worked. Yeah, and they worked out the bill plus removal of liquor license.
The whole thing is mobbed up. I can't believe it's so mobbed up. Just pay your dues, idiots. Somebody didn't get paid. I'm telling you. All right. I'm sorry. That was a diatribe. The disdain I have for them. You have no idea.
I have no disdain for them. I don't want this to be a disdainful stripper show.
I know. They're
human beings.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So back to the Mardi Gras. Since you won't go to a strip club, will you go to New Orleans East to get yourself a king cake?
Dude, Dong Fong. Dong Fong now only sells king cakes at the bakery. What are they handing out HJs as well?
The demand.
Are you serious? Nothing is that good. Nothing is that good to go to the East and pick
it
up.
Are you sure? Because I hear like the sweatshop labor they had for these king
cakes. Pull it up.
They couldn't keep up with the demand. They had to like lock it down to like you can only get them at the one location here. This is it.
All right. Let's see here. We felt we needed to prioritize the people that make the long journey to the East.
The long journey. It's like Return of the King.
Oh, God.
You got to go on top of the volcano and get your Dong Fong.
Now, these people I like a lot. The Vietnamese people in the East who, like, figured it and, like, in the...
But they cut off 10 locations. They just pulled them. Said no more.
This bakery won a James Beard Award?
I used to live next to a snowball stand that had a James Beard Award.
Hanson's. They have a James Beard Award?
Yes.
That means nothing to me anymore.
There was a point that Hanson's...
That means nothing to me.
Other than Hanson's Snowball, the only other James Beard food place in New Orleans was...
Pesh?
No, the fried chicken place. Willie Mays. Willie Mays Scotch House. Is it Willie Mays? Am I saying that right?
I don't know.
The most famous fried chicken place.
Willie's Chicken. Yeah, whatever. I don't know.
Okay. But there was those two places with the James Beard Award.
Well, now Pesh has one, though.
Well, yeah, now it's just, who wants one.
Okay, next time somebody says, but this restaurant won a James Beard Award, I'm going, Hanson's did it too. Snowball stand.
It's a building, but it's a stand.
That's ridiculous. So, let's see. A user on Reddit. Ooh.
One of their drivers said somebody was scalping the cakes and reselling them for a higher value. And there had been... quote-unquote, multiple fistfights at locations we delivered.
Shut up.
People were...